All right, welcome to the In the Blues Tone podcast. Today we've got a friend of the In the Blues community, Freaking Prawn, or David from Portugal. So welcome to the podcast, David.
Thank you.
Or David, I should say, if I'm pronouncing it properly.
Yes, you are.
So tell the guys a little bit about yourself and what you're into musically.
Well, basically, I am a home player. I used to play in two bands some years ago. I quit that and I dedicated myself to playing at home because, well, I don't get any money out of music. I never intended to. It's out of pure pleasure and nothing else.
That's what it should be about, you know, irrespective of if you're playing out or at home. That's right. You know what? I think I'm on along the same path at the moment in some ways because my gigs have all dried up for the end till the end of the year, and I don't have anything else booked. So I'm just going to get more into the recording side of things. I think it's where it's sort of at for me, and I'm really enjoying that process.
You know what I believe to be the future? Playing live on YouTube.
Yep. Yeah, you read my mind, man. I was actually thinking about, I've got this 8-channel sound card that I could use to pretty much mic up the band through a mixer and do some live stream gigs. So, yeah, that's on the cards for next year. So that's, you know, I think I did a quick live stream recently on YouTube and, you know, it works pretty well. It's just the only issue was trying to get more than one microphone in at one time, but I've sorted that problem out as well. So I think with a little bit of tweaking and testing, that the live YouTube gigs would be great because you'd actually have at least more than one or two people watching, hopefully. So
true.
Yeah.
And you get a percentage for each video you post, right?
Yeah. Well, it's well, yeah. It just depends on how the AdSense revenue thing works, but yeah, you make a couple of cents per 100 views or whatever it is. It's not a lot, but it helps.
Yeah. but yeah. you're a great player, Shane. You're a great player, and I'm quite certain that in time, if you do those live playing streams, you'll get more viewers and more income, of course.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, I love YouTube, and I've been using it for so many years, and I do post gig clips up, but yeah, the live stream actual band stuff would be a lot of fun. Only thing with that is I'd have to find somewhere I could do it because my place isn't really, you know, it's not really set up for drums and live bass guitar and all that kind of thing. So I'd have to look at, you know, the best option for doing that in terms of noise. So maybe one of my friends' places would be perfect for that. So yeah, I guess next year I'll look at setting that up, maybe a couple of months in, and we'll see how it goes.
It's a pretty good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember about 2 years ago, I took a laptop up to a gig and streamed one of my gigs. It was before the YouTube streaming thing, so it was probably a few years ago now. And it was just, yeah, it was really glitchy, and it just chewed through my data. So I couldn't keep that up. But yeah, it's definitely worth doing, absolutely. Do you have a YouTube channel, by the way?
No, I don't.
Okay, cool. That's all right. Just thought I'd...
I don't record anything. I just go there and watch you and other players and some gear reviews, and that's it.
Yeah, cool. So who are some of your other favorite YouTube channels that you're into?
Oh, I have many. Let me see. I have many. Well, I like Sweetwater Sound.
Yeah.
I like their presentation. Not much about their reviews, but their presentation.
Yeah.
Let me see. Pixie Licks. Also enjoy the dude.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I know that one, actually. Cool.
Pixie Licks is also a home player.
Yeah.
But he seems like a very nice guy, you know, very laid back.
Yeah,
I
cool.
like that kind of people. Brett Kingman, of course.
Yeah.
Budget Pedal Demos.
Yep. You know who runs that one?
Which one? Budget Pedal Demos?
Yeah.
No.
Do you know whose channel that is?
No, I don't.
It's mine.
I didn't know that, man.
Yeah, I started it for another company a while back. We were Rick and I did some demos for another brand, and eventually they didn't even use the demos, so I ended up putting them on that channel. So
that was a funny one. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I love that channel.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's nice and simple and just straight in, straight out, you know, good tone. Yeah. And yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, there's not much about selling stuff. You know, it's something that I really hate on reviews, is someone trying to sell me something.
Yeah.
Although I do like Sweetwater Sound, but because they also have interviews with people. Guitar players and stuff.
Yeah.
The other one that I really like is your channel.
Oh, thanks.
By the way, congrats on that one. Mike Hermans is also really, really good.
Yeah, there. He's a fantastic player.
And this dude that I found out a while back is called Nick in the States.
Oh, yeah, I know him. Yep.
Yeah, you know him, yeah. He's a Portuguese descendant.
Yeah.
I didn't know that by the time.
Okay.
And he is also a guitar hoarder.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. And he is hoarding now this cheap brand, or affordable brand. I don't like to call it cheap, but affordable brand of guitars called Arleigh Benton.
Ah, yep.
And he seems very, very satisfied with them.
Cool. So for those who don't know, I think Arleigh Benton is the European name for Joyo. Is that correct?
Yes. For pedals, yes.
Okay.
But not for guitars. They build their own guitars.
Oh, okay. Cool. Nice.
It's an in-house brand. You know, like Jack and Danny is an in-house brand. And
Yeah, cool. So they obviously make quite a number of guitars at the moment.
They do.
Yeah, I've seen some reviews going up recently of a few, like one was like a Brian May style guitar. And yeah, they've got some interesting looking stuff. I might just bring up their website and have a look and see what we've got on there. So you were talking about the Arleigh Benton Club before we started the podcast.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was searching on Google for forums, guitar forums and cheap instrument forums. And yep. I know Arleigh Benton is getting quite famous, especially in Europe. And I searched for a forum about Arleigh Benton, and I found them on Google, and I decided to join them. And people there are, as you expected, guitar hoarders. Some have plus 50 guitars from Arleigh Benton.
Yep.
And well, they're very, very nice, just like the folks on your forum, which are also pretty nice.
Yeah.
And they're all about more affordable gear than real top-end guitars and amps and effects and stuff like that. More laid-back people.
Yeah, well, there's so much brand snobbery that goes along with anything
it
music
is.
Related, whether or not it's you know, everything from the guitars and pedals, but even, you know, it doesn't, even to cables and power supplies and all that kind of stuff.
It gets ridiculous.
Yeah, I have some standards when I look for a guitar. I just have to make sure it meets my own standards, and it doesn't have to mean it says a particular name on the headstock. Like my Tokai guitars are pretty cheap, and I'm looking at the Arleigh Benton site here, and there's a SG style DC 580 LH, which is a left-handed SG basically, and that's £130, which would be probably £350 or maybe more than that here. I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure what the exchange rate is, but you know, that's even more affordable than the Tokai, and it looks really good. Looks really good.
Some of their guitars are really good. Indeed,
they are.
It's because they don't have the middleman. The reason why they're so cheap, it's because they don't have the middleman. They have their own fabric, or they use fabric in China. They build them, and they sell them.
You know what? I reckon this is where Fender will end up going soon. You notice they've...
They increased their prices, you know?
Yeah, I have a feeling that I don't know if it'll shoot him in the foot or not, but I think eventually, like in the next 5 or so years, they'll probably just have their own, you know, they'll probably just sell straight out of their factory online. There won't be any
there won't be
any middleman. I think I sort of don't, I get why people want products in shops so people can see them and all that kind of thing, but yeah, I mean, 90% of, you know, people that buy pedals would be shopping online a lot of the time. It's hard to know. Maybe the older generation might still prefer to go into shops. I know I like still going into shops, but I think there's just, you know, over the years, the shops are sort of fighting an uphill battle. I guess the only thing that would concern me about buying a guitar that's inexpensive that I haven't actually physically seen is that I would assume that it might not be as nice as what I would hope. So yeah, that's where it just comes down to scouring YouTube and the forums and stuff to make sure that, you know, you're buying something that's actually going to be playable.
Yeah, me as a buyer here in Portugal, we don't have much brands to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
We have the usual Fender, we have the usual Gibson, we have the usual Squires and whatnot, and PRS.
Mm-hmm.
PRS? Yes, PRS. But if you want to buy a Shure guitar, you're not going to find them.
Yep.
If you want to buy a brand new, let's say, do you call it Koch amp?
How do you spell that, sorry?
K-O-C-H.
Oh, yeah. Well, it could be pronounced Kosh or Cock. It depends where you're from. Yeah.
You will not going to find them. So you have to order them from abroad.
Yeah.
I have that difficulty whenever I want to buy, for instance, a pedal. I would like to try a Strymon, except there's no Strymon selling here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to rely on places like Thomann, which is this big warehouse.
Yep.
And order stuff from them, try it out. If I don't like it, I have to send it back.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be a bit of a hassle, I guess. How come, like, the other, like the Strymon pedals, what, no one stocks them, or they're just not allowed to stock them or something? What's the restriction?
I have no
there?
Idea.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Might be a little business venture for you, man. You can you can go from the one spectrum to the next
Yeah. I'll tell you what brands are sold here.
Yeah.
Boss.
Yep.
Digitech. TC Electronics, the less expensive ones.
Yep.
And mostly that German brand, quite inexpensive.
Oh, Behringer.
Behringer. Mostly those.
Yeah. Well, the first pedal demos I ever did were of the Behringer pedals back in the day, and you know, they sound pretty good for the price, but I think they've been superseded now by some of the other brands out there. But yeah, it's funny that you got such a limitation on brands. That's really strange. There mustn't be the same sort of pedal culture, maybe. I don't know. Like, it's such a you know, like a huge wank almost in the US and in Australia with pedals this and power supplies that. I mean, you know, I love the effects pedals. I'm a huge fan, but yeah.
So am I.
yeah. So I can't get enough of the things, but yeah, I think that's maybe, I don't know if it's the same for musicians over your side of the world in Portugal.
Let's see. Musically speaking, I think we are rather poor.
Okay.
We are. Except for maybe the most known band is Moonspell, which is a metal band, and they are really well known throughout Europe and maybe United States. I don't know about that. But that's it.
Okay.
Then you have Fado music, which is an acoustic kind of music, and the usual party, dancing kind of music that nobody likes.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yep. Cool. Hey, one sec, mate. Excuse me, I just had to cough. Yeah, I'll mute that out. Don't worry. So, in terms of the pedals that you've got at the moment, which ones are you enjoying the most?
Well, let me see. At the moment, I don't have many pedals, and I'm expecting to buy more because I spent a lot of time with the multi-effects units.
Yep.
And I got a bit tired of those, so I tried to get away from them into something else, into the pedal format, that is.
Yeah.
These are the ones that I have. I have an Arleigh Benton / Joyo, because they're the same.
Yep.
A dynamic compressor.
Cool.
I have the American Sound, which I love. Yeah, I love that pedal.
Awesome.
It's a great pedal. I have a Marshall Bluesbreaker 2, an MXR Super Badass Distortion, and the only multi-effects that I have at the moment is a Zoom MES-70 CDR, which is a multi-effects concerning only reverbs, delays, and reverbs.
Nice.
It's a very nice pedal. Sounds gorgeous.
I'll put into perspective how good that Joyo or Harley Benton American Sound pedal is. I've been recording for probably 15 years, and on my last album, Rick and I got together. We had my Deluxe Reverb, we had his Eric Clapton Tremolux amplifier, and we had two or three other valve amps, like a $3,000 Victoria Regal, all these amps. And then we plugged into the American Sound and ran our pedals into that, straight into the recording. And it was night and day. It recorded so much better than, you know, the amps with really great microphones. So, I think that's one of the best pedals ever cloned. Because it actually is a clone. It's a clone of the Tech 21 Blonde, which they've made a newer version as well, which is... I think it's a limited edition one. It's sort of like quite a bit wider. It's like sort of like five times the width, and it has some, you can sort of store different presets in it and stuff. But
yeah
the American Sound pedal is all analog, and it just, it actually works great going straight into a clean channel as well on an amp. You can get that, you know, you can change your amp from whatever the clean tone of it is.
Yeah.
To like a tweed sounding amp. It's
you
really cool.
You definitely get that Fender-ish sound out of it.
Absolutely.
I remember watching your video about it. You were comparing the American Sound and a Fender amp, and both sounded gorgeous. For me, it's a step on it and let it be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't do anything there. Just find your sweet spot and let it be.
It's an
always-on panel.
I did a gig with it as well at a place where we couldn't have our amps. There wasn't either any room on stage, or we were... Because the way the stage was set up, it would have hit everyone in the ears because they were sitting down eating dinner. So we ran the two American Sound pedals, like one each, straight into the PA, and the sound guy, the guy behind the bar said it was the best electric guitar sound he'd ever heard, and both volume-wise and sound-wise, and he goes, where are your amps? I said, we don't have any. We're running through these pedals, and he just sort of looked at us funny, but they're really, really good. My first one lasted about a year. I used it all the time, and then it just sort of stopped working, and I've had another one. I under warranty, I swapped it over. I've had this one for a lot longer than that, and I've had no problems with it. I think it's for the price, but and for what you get, it's as good as you get, that thing.
Were you upset about it just stopped working?
Oh, not really. I mean, I'd used it a lot. I really did use it a lot, layering up.
How much did it cost you?
It was $49 Australian dollars, so...
Okay, 49 is like 30 euros in Europe.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. You don't have to feel bad about it because it just cost you that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If it had been like to put it in perspective, the Tech 21's over 300 here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So even if I have to buy five of these Joyos, I still won't, you know, get up to the price of of the legit one. But you know what? I think if it breaks again, I'll probably end up seeing if I can find a secondhand Tech 21 somewhere. But like I said, it's been fine for over a year now, so I don't foresee any more problems happening with it. But yeah, you can stack your pedals into it, and I found just getting great results was putting a reverb pedal after the Tech 21 before you go into your, you know, either into exactly. your amp or recording. Exactly. And yeah, I've used that all over my new album. So myself, Rick and Brian, all the guitar parts were done through that, and it's the best guitar sound I've ever recorded. So yeah, they're fantastic.
I love that pedal. It's an amazing little unit, very inexpensive, and mine actually is surviving, which is something that I cannot say about another pedal that I used to have, that I am still heartbroken because after a few months of having it, and let me remind you of something very interesting. I don't use my feet on my pedals. I have them on a desk.
Yeah.
Okay. So I press them with my thumbs. And I'm usually very gentle with my own stuff.
Yeah.
I used to have this pedal by Electro-Harmonix called Deluxe Big Muff Pi.
Yep.
I love that pedal. I really do.
Yeah.
But that little bitch stopped working after 2 months.
Yeah.
Of me pressing it with my thumb.
Yeah, wow.
And the gyro that costed me just 30 euros is still working.
I got to say, like, putting it out there, that the Electro-Harmonix quality is pretty horrible these days.
It is.
They say made in the USA, but
horrible.
They use, like, cheap parts and, you know, their pots and I don't know if their switches are bad. I haven't had any problems with the switch on the particular pedal I had, but it was my own fault that I dropped it on the carpet floor here. But, the pot broke straight away. And when I looked at it, it was like a plastic pot. It wasn't actually a proper, like, aluminium, you know, steel sort of casing. It was just cheap and nasty, man. It's funny looking at all the forums with people with the same problem. Either the pots break easily, or the input jack for the power supply just becomes like loose or breaks. Like, yeah, there's so many people that have had that problem, and that's not through dropping it or anything either. So, yeah, the customer service sucks too. If you don't live in the US and you want to get it fixed, it's a real pain. They say, I'll send it back and we'll fix it, right? But it's like, it's going to cost me $30 to send it overseas, and then, you know, I have to pay for shipping back. I might as well just buy another one. So they, you know,
that's what they want you to do.
Yeah, the customer service sucks, and it's a shame because I really liked the Soul Food pedal that I had, and you know, Electro-Harmonix use that for promo material as well. Which, you know, I did post a follow up video, sort of complaining about their customer service and how quick their pedals break. But you know, they had no response to that, and it's a bit of a shame that they didn't even try.
I
said to them, I can build pedals. Send me the part. I'll pay you for shipping. They're like, nah, send it back. So I didn't get any helpful or useful things. Because, I mean, why would I send a $50 pedal, you know, overseas? It's going to cost me $60 round trip. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
That's true.
Yeah. So
it also shows you that being more expensive is not equal to being good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Yeah, I've had I won't name names, but I've had other pedals turn up.
Name names.
No.
I don't want to buy those.
It's the stuff I don't demo. I've had pedals sent to me that will squeal when I plug them in, or I turn them on and the pots don't do anything. Like, I've literally had pedals that you click, turn them on, and the light comes on and nothing happens. So they don't get videos, obviously, for that.
It's a real true bypass pedal.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you got four controls that don't do anything. And I've had other pedals that have come in that, say you turn the drive up past 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, it just starts squealing. Or if you turn the tone control either all the way down or all the way up, it does it again. So there's pedals that I just, yeah, I've had, I mean, I know they're traveling from overseas sometimes too, where pedals turn up and they don't work at all. That happens, and that can just be some sort of issue with transport, I guess, to some extent. But yeah, sometimes they just, there's no quality control either. So yeah, I think that's the good thing about the Joyo company. They're getting better and better as well. Like,
they are.
Even their mini pedals are really good. Like, the standard of them is, you know, really, really cool. Like, I think they look good and they're built well. And yeah, they're onto a bit of a winner there.
You mean the Iron Man series?
Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah, the Iron Man series. I forgot what it was called. That's the exact one. Cool.
They look so cool.
Yeah, they are.
They look like Iron Man, really.
Yeah, that's it. I like the little visor thing. It's definitely cool. So Fender have released a new amp called the Bass Breaker. Have you seen that one?
Ooh, I have to watch that one. No way.
All right. There's,
I have to see it.
As of today, I haven't actually seen a video of it. I've only seen the pictures and information on it. But basically what it is, it's a copy of the Marshall Blues Breaker. But that was a copy of the Fender Bassman amplifier. So they've... it's good. I like how it went full circle there. They're just copying
full
each other.
Circle. Yeah.
So it looks really cool. These amps are, they come in I think an 18 watt and a 30 watt combo and a 45 watt combo as well. I could be wrong on the specs here. It looks like we've got a head, a 212 and a single 12. So I'll just check the website here sometimes. Yeah. See, Australia's Fender website has the worst functionality ever. I'm going to have to go to the US one. But basically, yeah, it looks like it's going to be a tad bit lighter than the originals, which are good because as good as the Marshall Blues Breakers are, in some people's eyes, they're extremely heavy and extremely loud. So I wouldn't be surprised if the single 12 combo would be the one to go for in terms of just volume and everything. Because, supposedly they're as loud as a AC30 just on the clean channel up, you know. So, yeah, that'd be a bit of a beast. But I'm looking forward to seeing these around and actually hearing them because Fender released a quick video of people plugging into it but not actually any of its tone. So you may have to check YouTube and see if they've got some more of them at the moment, some more videos.
Well, I can tell you something about the looks of it.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous. It's a bit retro, but it looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it does. I really like the look of it. It's kind of borderline... yeah, what is it, like black tweed? Is that what it looks like? Like a black tweed? Or a black...
like grayish.
Yeah. Like a dark metal... yeah, metal gray. So,
yeah. It's nice, though.
Unfortunately, the website I've got in Australia because of GOIPs, I can't actually view the specs on the speakers or anything, but I'm pretty sure from what I remember reading about it, they're using the same speakers, the Celestion speakers that they were using in the Michael Landau amp and also in the 68 Custom Deluxe Series amp. So they'll be better than the stock Fender Eminent speakers, which is cool. So yeah, it looks like we get a few different choices with the head, the 212, and the smaller combo. Smaller combo would be definitely worth checking out, I reckon.
Yeah, the one I'm seeing is just a head, not really a combo. Do they have a combo?
Yeah. There's a combo as well. There's a 212 and a single 12.
Oh, 212. Yeah. I love 212s, man.
It looks like there's actually some videos online finally. Last week when I looked, there wasn't any. But, there's definitely quite a few of them. So I'll check them out. Yeah, so it looks like it might be a... from judging by the names of the videos, it says 18/30-watt tube combo. So maybe it has a power attenuator built in to drop it down. Otherwise, it might just
sense.
Mean... yeah. That's always a good thing, you know. Like, I had a Fender Twin that had one of those years ago, and I used to run it on the 25 watt mode over the 100 watt mode because it was just 100 watts, man. What are you going to do?
It says that's a lot.
Yeah.
It says here that the output level goes down to 1 watt.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Must be something.
Yes, 3 12AX7 on the preamp, yep. And 2 EL84s on the power amp.
Oh wow!
Does that?
It's very voxy.
Is that good for you?
Yeah, thanks.
It fits your fancy, doesn't it?
Well, I used to love the Vox EL80. Did you say EL84s or 34s?
84.
Okay, yeah, so that's kind of like a Vox combo, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably pretty chimey, and hopefully the speakers tame the top end, you know, like that can always be the deal breaker for some of those, you know, EL84 amps is they can get kind of spiky, you know, like some of the... what's the PV Classic series amps can get a bit nasty on the top end,
yeah,
if they're dialed in wrong, but they're pretty cool amps. So yeah, I'll definitely have to do some research on these and see if there's any in Australia. They'll probably get to Australia sometime in the next 2 years, like everything else. But you know what? I'll probably have a chance to test one out in the US in July before I find them here. I know that's definitely going to be the way. I always make the mistake of sometimes going to try amps when I don't actually have my current amp with me. And sometimes, you know, when you're at a shop or whatever, the room can sound a particular way, or it can sound great and you think, oh, this sounds so much better than what I've already got. But then when you take your own amp in and you put it side by side, you go, oh, okay, so what I got actually sounds great. So I think it's... You know, Rick always said that to me. He goes, anytime you go to test an amp, always have your current one with you, because it really puts it into perspective. Don't ever buy an amp based on how it sounds in the shop without a reference point. So, yeah, I make sure I take my amp with me. I've made some huge, huge mistakes buying amps without having my current amp with me. And when I got home and I put them side by side, you know, the older amp that I had, well, the current one that I had was way better than the new one. So, yeah, I that's one thing that I can recommend to anyone who's interested in looking at getting a new amp. Always take in one that you've got, if you can, that is. So really helps determine what you're listening to and sort of benchmarks it against what your ear's used to as well. Same goes for guitars too. If you're, you know, if you're in a shop and you're thinking of buying a second Strat or a Tally or a whatever, always have the one that you've got with you if you do have one already. That absolutely helps. Or play a couple of different ones in the shop at least, just to make sure. But yeah, I always think you know, having a comparison on hand is really helpful, especially if you're going to be spending big bucks. I'll never buy another big amp, or expensive amp, I should say, without having you know, my Blues Deluxe with me. But I'm pretty much done for amps right now. I really don't feel like there's much out there that would sort of contribute to my sound or tone or anything. I'm wrapped with what I got, and yeah.
Shane.
Yep.
Are you sure?
Well, it's funny, man, because you know, I've played a handful of boutique amps lately that were good, and mate of mine's got this really nice Swart amp, which is great at what it does, but you know, the Blues Deluxe pretty much covers anywhere that I play. Like, that can be used at festivals or at pub gigs, and it just sounds fantastic. And then, you know, the Super Reverb's still the best amp I've ever heard in person. So I've had two rock amps, I've had bloody all kinds of different, you know, probably 30 amps over the years, and I'm really, really happy with my combination of stuff. So, yeah, I feel like the only stuff that I'd be looking for would be, you know, guitars that I don't already have one of. So it'd be like, I don't want to duplicate guitars. Like, I wouldn't go buying a second Strat or a second Telecaster. I've already got a great Telecaster that I should be playing all the time. So that's, for me, that's the go-to guitar when I want that Tele sound. But if I was to buy another guitar now, it'd be something different, maybe like a Gretsch, something with different pickups, or... Well, if I bought another Tally, it would be something that would have different pickups in it entirely to what I've got. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm kind of done with the amps right now. I'm really digging what I got. It's a good feeling. But God,
you found your sweet spot.
Yeah, we'll just hope it lasts, man, because it's an expensive habit, you know. So
it is.
You know, I don't know if you heard, but I got the a PV Bandit recently.
Yes, I did. Oh. I talked about it with you on Facebook.
There that's right.
A PV Bandit being sold here for 160 euros, more or less the same amount you spent.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, they're such a great...
It's the red stripe, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. There's another one on eBay at the moment that I bid on. But, I've been outbid on that one. It looks brand new, and I run a jam night on a Sunday, and just to speed up the sets, I let people use the Bandit, and I thought maybe I could get like a second cheap one and just leave it there so everyone doesn't have to bring their amps up and stuff. But, they're such a great amp, man. It's in terms of solid state amplifiers, I reckon the PV Bandit has to be arguably one of the best amps in, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
They're just unbelievable.
It is. But don't tell that to the tube snobs, okay?
No. And it's
oh no, it doesn't have tubes. It sucks.
Yeah, people are a little bit ignorant with stuff until they actually get to try it, because my friend Rick's a huge gear snob, and I took it over to his place the other day, and we put it up against a valve amp and or a tube amp, and it was so indistinguishable in the room that if he wasn't looking at the amps, I don't know if he'd know which one was which. So we shot a blind test, which will go up in the next few days.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, that's always cool fun. So. Where once that video gets to like 1,500 views or something, I'll tell everyone which was which. But the funny thing about the Bandit is they sound so great with pedals as well. Like, you know, the Klon doesn't really work well, or a Klon style pedal doesn't really work well with the Mustang. It just gets all weird. But the Bandit's...
Because the Mustang is digital, man.
Yeah.
The Klon is supposed to drive the tubes.
Yeah,
there are no tubes on the Mustang, so it's not going to behave the same way.
Yeah, but there's none on the Bandit either, and it sounds great.
They're different.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I think they're engineered to be, you know, a very gig or, you know, record friendly amp. You can just basically plug in what you're used to and get your sound. And we did a second blind test as well where. There's a control on the Bandit called a T-Dynamics switch, which basically lowers the volume of the amplifier, but it also makes it sort of clip easy. And so I put that in quotations, but it sort of makes it sound like a valve amp on, you know, turned up where it's saturated. So we did a test with the Bandit with that particular switch on. And then we did a blind test with a $3,500 valve amplifier. And This will be the funniest blind test of all time because they're so similar.
Talking about Fender, did you see that video of the guy who made a Stratocaster made of cardboard?
Yeah, I did. I posted it on the Blues Facebook page recently, and it's funny because, you know, for years people have been saying that Tonewood is a joke. Like, basically, you know, wood doesn't conduct, or it's not magnetic, so it can't really affect the sound on a guitar. And that's the perfect example of why the Tonewood myth is actually like debunked now. Because I really feel like you could put a set of pickups in any Strat. Say I had a set of pickups in a pickguard. I put that pickguard on another Stratocaster, it would sound exactly the same.
Exactly like the Stratocaster, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it would. You could put it in a $50 Strat or a $5,000 Relic one, and it's still going to sound the same. So the wood, while it looks beautiful, that's, I think, a clear-cut case of, you know,
you can really catch that mahogany sound.
Your back catches it when you try to lift it. So I think that's the it's funny. It's a hard conversation to have because there's so many variables, but I think that that is proof of how a Strat will sound or how pickups will sound in a cardboard guitar is it still sounds exactly the same as it would in a wood guitar. So yeah, I think that's, I don't know why Fender did that. I thought maybe they weren't thinking that.
I don't think the dude that I don't think that the dude that owns Fender even knew about it.
Yeah, you could be right, because they've definitely shot themselves in the foot. You know this. I think the benefit of certain woods over others is not only how they look if you've got a clear finish, but how light or heavy they are. Some people like heavier guitars because they feel better or whatever. But you know, if you light's fine. I don't mind a light guitar, and knowing that the pickups are mounted in a piece of plastic anyway, so the wood just can't affect that tone. It comes down to, I think, the hardware on the guitar, you know, the bridge, all that
pickups,
stuff.
It's the knot, the strings, that's it,
and
the way it is built, nothing more.
That's it. So I think that's a pretty funny that was a great video to see. It's good because you could actually like see through the guitar as well. I'll post some screenshots on the video on for people watching on YouTube. But I think that'll definitely be an interesting thing. If people haven't seen it, they'll enjoy that.
Do you know what I enjoyed most on the video? When the workers were testing the guitar and say, "Oh, look, it sounds just like a Stratocaster."
Yeah,
thank God.
Yeah, well, there it is. If they say that, then that's hilarious.
It is.
Yeah, so much for the tone wood. So people, you're paying for, paying for, what's the word I should use here, man? I know English isn't your first language, but you seem to speak it better than me. So you're paying for the sales pitch, maybe, is what I'm trying to get at. So it's definitely.
You're paying for an illusion.
Yeah, there you go. Well said. Perfect.
You're paying for a logo. You're paying for an illusion.
Yep.
You're paying for your own insecurity.
Yeah. Hey, I wonder if
you need to feel secure. I'm sorry. You need to feel secure with a logo, with knowing that you own a $5,000 guitar. That will make you feel like you're a real champ.
They're also release. Yeah, exactly. They're also going to release a $6,000 relic cardboard Strat at one point as well. So. Will's Easy Guitar on YouTube. He has an interesting channel. That guy. Have you seen Will's Easy Guitars before?
Yes, yes, I did.
Yeah.
For a guy who builds guitars and coming out with perfectly logical explanations for what the tone wood is, such a bullshit. The dude is king.
Yeah, you know what? I sort of enjoy the drama that goes along with his channel. Like, I don't get involved in it. I don't comment on it. I don't do anything. But I watch his videos quite a lot, and I feel so sorry for that guy, man. He deals with the biggest retards on YouTube, and he does. Yeah, and
he gets so much heat.
Yeah, and I don't know. He does that thing where he retaliates as well, which might make things worse. But he's right. That's what it comes down to.
He is right.
He knows his stuff. You're right. Like what you said before, he gives everyone reasons why he's correct. He does all the tests to prove that it makes no difference. The Tonewood thing makes no difference. You know, he's an expert.
Oh, but Tonewood. I want my Tonewood.
Yeah, people just, they still won't. It's almost like people won't absorb or they don't even want to listen to him, like, intellectually. They just...
They can't.
They're total
insecurity.
It's like they've told him that, you know, Santa Claus doesn't exist or something, and they're like, no. It's the same sort of thing. Like, they just don't want any part of it. So it's funny that people, you know, with all the information that's out there and all the resources that are out there, that there's always someone in the world that knows more about something than what you do, whether it's playing music or computers or, you know, anything out there. And he's one of those guys that knows his stuff, and I just felt so sorry for him for a while. He was getting like copyright strikes on stuff and all that. I was just like, man, this guy's just for voicing his opinion, which is basically what YouTube's for. It's for that and cat videos. But
cat videos. And you have the weird side of YouTube as well.
Yeah, there's just these like guitar guys that are just, all that they're out to do is sort of belittle everyone else. And I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know if all industries are the same, but you get like, I reckon that in the blues community, all the people that are, you know, have input into my channel are fantastic on the most part. I do get the odd troll here and there, but
it's very rare to get a troll on your video. I remember one troll there, but I think it was kicked out.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
It was a bit rude.
Yeah,
I don't mind. And it made no sense at all.
I don't mind people disagreeing with me or telling me they don't like my playing. That's fine. I don't really. Everyone likes different things, and that's just part and parcel of it. I demo pedals that I don't like, but I know some people will like them. So it sort of works both ways like that. But when people are rude or they cross, you know, the line, then I just block them. But it's funny, maybe only blocked two people this entire year, so maybe three. But yeah, I just don't have time for that stuff. And if my channel ended up ever in that direction where I'm having to put up videos I try to stay clear of the way that...
Even the people that respond to your videos, the people that comment, are really laid back. You know, they seem to be really into it. You know, just... They play for fun. They don't care about tone. They don't care about any of that shit.
Yeah, you're right.
Just want to dig the blues. Now they're talking to Shane Diorio, a blues player, and they dig your sound. So why in the hell would they troll?
Well, I don't know why people bother trolling anyway. If you don't like if you don't like something, there's one thing just to say, look, you know, thanks, but I don't like the sound of that at all, because that's an objective statement. But if you go, you know, your mum this, and you this guy's a, you know, a dickhead or whatever, then yeah, you don't need to leave those comments, and they're usually left by the people that have either huge egos when it comes to playing guitar, or they're no-hopers. I absolutely believe that most people that troll other people are the kind of personalities that you would never deal with in real life, and they've probably got some other major issue. Like,
they use YouTube to vent their frustrations.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of recording, which we kind of almost touched on before when we were talking about the video demos, I've just been sponsored by a new company called Two Notes Engineering, which
I saw it.
Oh man,
so cool. Wow. Man,
my recording quality on the channel is seriously about to just go through the roof. I reckon it's going to be the best audio on YouTube hands down in terms of guitar tones. I don't know, have you seen the have you looked into the unit?
Yes,
at all?
I did.
Yes,
I did.
So yeah, you basically can run your amp into it. It takes the load of your amp, so you're bypassing the speaker, and then you've got this USB sort of digital interface into the unit, which allows you to use the same cab and any number of microphones or cabs in a room that you can then set the mic position and all that kind of stuff. And it absolutely sounds amazing. Like I'd never be able to get that sort of tone at my house. Even through my isolation cabinet, which I sold, I can't get this kind of sound. This is fantastic. So I just wanted to say a quick thanks and to Two Notes, who probably won't be listening to this, but I'll send it to them anyway. But
yes, they will.
Yeah, this thing's unbelievable, and I've already shot some demos with it, and it's exceeded my expectations. It was a little tricky to get going at the start, but if anyone's interested in home recording. I look at it like this. You got two options. You can either use your amplifier with something like the Two Notes as one option. I actually got a few options. You got three options. You could use another unit that would just record like digitally into your computer, like amp emulation software, all that kind of stuff. But you're not going to get that big valve tone of your amp. There's a bit of a trade-off there. And your third option, which is probably great as well, is just the Joyo American sound pedal or one of those series, which are, you know, unbelievably good. So I honestly think that this is going to be the start of, you know, the best sounding demos I've ever done, and not because they've just sent me this thing, but I've been recording for many years, and I've, you know, my album that I've just finished had the Joyo pedal all over it, and it sounded amazing. This two notes thing is sort of like the next level in terms of being able to configure it a little better as well, being able to put the mic placement wherever you like, and also being able to change microphones and cabinets just to get the sound you're looking for. But I did a test last night with my Blues Deluxe amp, and it is spot on. You know, I've played Blues Deluxe amps for years and years, and on and off, I've had two of them. This is my second one, but yeah, it sounds like that amp cranked, and it's still got all the nice warm overtones of of the valves that you just can't get.
Just people have to put something in their heads. The digital era has come, and it's improving very, very fastly.
Yep. Yeah.
For all those people that think, oh no, I must have a tube amp, oh, because the sound is so... Forget it. You can get a very decent digital equipment that will make you... or will make your guitar sound just like a tube amp.
Yep.
Blindfolded, you will not know the difference.
Yeah, that's it. And sometimes, even in terms of recording too, like I said earlier in the podcast, when I was recording with Rick, and we had all these, in between four amps, it was like $7,000, and we couldn't get the same type of sound that we could get with the Joyo pedal. It was $49. So, and that's not down to my engineering skills at all, because I've been doing sound engineering for a long time. But so that puts it into perspective. You don't need to sometimes spend big bucks if you're recording, but it depends on your situation. If you do want your actual amp tone, then you're going to have to look at either like a THD hot plate / power attenuator, or something like the two notes, where you're going to get your actual amp sound on the majority. Otherwise, you can get, all those, all the VST plugins for recording guitars these days. I demoed one called Bias recently, which is...
Oh, the Bias, yeah.
Yeah. And, so if you're technically minded, that's a great option. But if you want something that's just straight ahead, that's the thing. I think sometimes the digital stuff isn't aimed at guitar players, it's more aimed at computer users. Sometimes, like they can sometimes almost overcomplicate digital effects, where most guitar players
depends on the brands also.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But some of them are really straightforward. Others, you really need a laptop or an iPad or something like that to take the full advantage of what the product offers you.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
For instance, you do have the Fender Mustang, don't you?
Yes, yep.
You can do everything on the Mustang. You don't need the PC to do anything.
No, that's right. Yeah, they did that the right way. Basically, all the options that are available on the amp and also available on the computer side of it as well. So it's the same interface, basically.
Yeah.
But, there's some products that are out there that, you got banks.
Yeah, make it a bit weird.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but you're right, though. I think the digital side of things has really caught up over the last few years. And I shouldn't really say caught up. I think they're just starting to maybe just sound better as well. And they might be referencing better sound samples or however it works, but... there's definitely it. I mean, I remember when the Line 6 amps first came out, those spiders.
Yeah.
If you heard one of those today, you'd go, oh, that's horrible.
Oh, my God, what was wrong with me?
Yeah, so they've definitely moved ahead in the modeling department. And then there's all those hybrid amps as well, which are, they have some digital, or mostly digital interface, but they have power tube output sections, so kind of get that in between sort of sound. But I think recording, you still do want that big valve sound. I've had Line 6 UX2 and UX8 sound cards and all that kind of stuff over the years, and they were fantastic for just plug and play and record nice and easily, getting lots of great guitar tones. But there was just that oomph of the power tube thing missing in those recordings. And, you know, the funny thing is, though, no one's going to know. It's only the person who knows their sound.
Plays it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I've already had people go, wow, the guitars on this album sound fantastic. The last one that I've done, I thought, oh, thanks. Oh, what amp was that? I said, oh, well, we didn't use any amps. We used the, you know, the $50 American sound pedal. And so that's, you know, it's all about the listener more than it is about the musician sometimes. I think we can be, you know, lost up our own arseholes for so more than need be.
Imagine Jimi Hendrix having all those problems.
Yeah. And you know what? He didn't even use true bypass pedals, man. So.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh yeah. Oh no, that's wrong. He did. Oh, he did. He did use two bypass pedal. Yeah. He had a pedal train full of them.
Yeah.
Back then.
And he
pedal
had
pedal train.
Yeah. And he had the coily cables too, man, which is supposed to
the mahogany ones.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
With you know, less ohm resistance and I don't know, it's all crap.
Of course it is. The dude could even play out of the banjo. It's the man that makes the sound.
That's it. You turn a Marshall amp up to 10, it's going to sound good. What's your thought on cables? Have you had any experience with you know, different types of cables over the years?
Well, as I told you, I go for the cheap thing.
Yeah.
I don't spend much money on more resistant stuff because I don't gig, I don't go out, I don't you know, use my gear that way.
Yeah.
So I do with whatever I can.
No, that's fine.
Put my hands on.
No, yeah? What I meant was, have you ever come across a cable that you've bought? Like this is true. Sometimes, irrespective of how much you pay, I've had cables that are decent that, you know, if I tap them on the ground while my guitar's plugged in, I can hear it come through the amp.
Yeah.
So.
Well, none of my cables have that problem.
Yeah, cool.
And I'll tell you the brand of cables I'm using.
Yeah.
Are you ready? They were very expensive, actually. Quite expensive.
Yeah.
It's the most expensive piece of equipment that I have. They're Steg.
Okay.
Steg cables. You know, costed me €3 each.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I don't even know what brands I've got at the moment. I've got like a big mix of stuff that I've had over the years. But last time I was in the US, I bought like these $8 cables. They were pretty short. But yeah, they had so much handling noise. Like, it was unbearable to use. Like, I accidentally used one at my jam night the other night. And
yeah,
you can, like, it just, as you move it, the cable with your hand or whatever, as you move around, it just, it's got a lot of physical noise. It's just, it's
yeah, they're
horrible.
Not shielded properly.
No.
Yeah, the only cable I remember having that sort of problem with was a Fender cable.
Yeah, they probably be true as well. Actually, funny you mentioned that. I've got another cable that came with my 52 reissue guitar. Mm. This little grey Fender cable, and that had a fair bit of handling noise as well. So
yeah. Is it the one with the tweed cover? Sort of.
No, this one's just grey. It's just like a grey plastic. It's very very thin too, which is probably part of the problem. Doesn't look like it's got a lot of. You know, I think they usually cover them up with a piece of rubber or a piece of plastic that's thick enough to not to shield it a little bit better or to protect it at least a little bit better. But, yeah, I don't know. And the other thing is, too, I don't think I've really been able to hear any difference between... All right, I'm gonna name names right now. My friend Rick, he's just such a brand snob, and it's awesome because he's the guy that will go spend, you know, $250 on patch cables for his pedal board. Yeah, and I'll spend $30 on all of them. And you know what? I'm going to have to do some tests whether or not there's any tone difference between one or the other, and whether or not there's any actual noticeable tone differences between some of his cables. You know, he buys George L cables, I think they call it, or L's, one or the other. And they're like really, you know, top of the line sort of stuff.
I really doubt you're going to listen to any kind of major difference.
Yeah, that's
unless, of course, they are like 30 meters or you use feet, don't you?
Meters. Yeah, meters.
Meters. Okay, yeah. 30 meters to 100 meters of cable.
Yeah,
but that's natural. That happens in all cables.
Yep.
You're not going to listen to any goddamn difference.
Yeah, some people say that the argument is, the more expensive cables allow more high end to pass through. I always wondered about that, those kind of statements. It's like, well, if you're not getting enough top end already, just walk
they may up. Be more resistant because they're, you know, thicker.
Yeah.
They may be more resistant, but no,
yeah.
They're not going to. To allow more high-end.
Yeah.
No.
My argument was always, well, walk over to your amp and turn up the treble if you're not getting enough high-end with your current cables. Like,
hey, you want a really good cable? You want a really good cable? Buy fiber optics.
Yeah, there you go.
If you have the money for it.
Yeah. I wonder if I'll ever go to go to that, mate. That'd be an actual upgrade on a Strat. They've been the same for, 60, 70 years or something now, so...
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference as well because it only works the longer the cable is. For short things, it doesn't short distances or short measures, if you prefer, it doesn't make a damn difference.
Mm. Yep. No, as long as there's no handling noise, I can't imagine there being much difference in tone. I mean, the reliability factor. If you're gigging, I'm sure certain cables will last longer than others. But this is a really good test. Recently, I was watching. Videos about HDMI cables on YouTube, you know, going from your Blu-ray player to your TV. And, you know, they're a digital signal, so they're just sending ones and zeros. So a cheap cable to an expensive cable is a reliability factor. Which one's going to last longer, you know, maybe bent in a certain way getting to from your TV to your DVD player. These guys also did like a strength test on the cables. So being that it's a digital cable, quality difference won't make any difference in terms of the signal. So they just started bending them around up and down until one of them broke, and the one that was like $100 broke way before the one that was $9.
And there you go.
You know what? I spent $90 on a XLR cable once and it broke. It broke really, really quickly.
Oh dear.
Yeah, and that was going to be like I bought that with the intention I'd have it for, or well, with the thought that I would have it for 10 years, and it was lucky to last 2 years in a studio situation. It got moved around a bit, but it was never under any stress. So it goes to show you can just never really tell with any of this stuff how long it's going to last, as long as you try to take care of it, I suppose.
I reckon you're looking for a cheap acoustic guitar, aren't you?
I am. Yes, yep.
Try Thomann HB guitars, our Bentons.
Okay.
They do all sorts of knockoffs on Gibsons, Jumbos, and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's kind of what I was looking at, something like an Epiphone or something like a Gibson-style, you know, acoustic, which, you know, isn't obviously that... $4,000 here. So my next project I'm working on is gonna have a lot of acoustic rhythm tracks and stuff, and I just haven't played acoustic for years, you know, and I just don't really want to spend a lot on one because I know I won't use it a lot other than at home. Like I'm not gonna take it out to gigs and stuff. I just really want it for recording. So yeah, so the
people from the Arleigh Benton Club say they are really, really nice.
Okay.
Some of their best guitars are the acoustic ones. Right. And there's a dude there that had the Martin, that sold the Martin, and got 3 acoustic Arleigh Bentons.
Yeah, wow, okay. Oh, that's good.
So they're really well built.
Yeah.
If you have any problem with Arleigh Benton gear, you can always send it back to Thomann for free.
Yeah, wow.
They paid the transport, and they will either replace it if you want to, or they will give you your money back, or they will give you a credit on the value of the guitar you paid.
Yep.
For you to purchase something else.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, they look pretty good. They've got a quite
they are.
A number of nice
They're
looking ones right here.
Professionals. They're very good professionals.
Hey, but thanks so much for doing this today, no, mate. Okay. I absolutely appreciate your time. And,
my pleasure.
We'll have to do this again.
If you think it's good, and depending on the comments, of course, some people give me a lot of heat. we'll do it again if you're up.
Like I said, mate, you speak well, and it was good fun, and yeah, you brought a lot of good conversation to the podcast.
Expect
so if anyone gives us any grief, I'd be surprised. So thanks for that. Thanks for listening. My name's Shane with co-host Freaking Prawn, who added so much good stuff to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this. It was a bit of fun looking at gear and stuff from someone else's perspective around the world. If you'd like to be on the In the Blues Tone podcast, you can hit me up at guitarpedaldemos.com or at Facebook at facebook.com/intheblues. This can be listened to on iTunes or Android devices, as well as at the websites I've just mentioned. So, yeah, definitely check it out. For those watching on YouTube, thanks again, and I will catch you all very, very soon. See ya.